in this group of verses. It's not a group of verses that really has a lot of extreme in-depth detail to it. It really is very straightforward. Here are two men. Here are their proven characters. What can we learn from them? And so that's the nice thing about this section of the book of Philippians. It's not that the others are not straightforward, but this is just, here again are two men, and here's what we can learn from them. So we understand and we know people in our lives that make a big difference to us. We know a lot of people in our lives that have influenced us when it comes to God's Word. Some of you are in this audience here. And so as we think about those people, how do we consider them? How do we think about them? And what have they shown to you that would lead you to come to that conclusion? Paul is going to introduce us to a couple of these men who very much emulate what I had just explained to you. Paul and Epaphroditus, to be specific. And hopefully you've had a chance to go through verses 19 through 30 to prep yourself. But if not, I'll reread that for you so we have that information before us. So I've titled this really a model for service because that's what it is. It is a model for service. In fact, and more specifically, it is a model for the faithful servant. And so as we go through this, there's going to be a couple of elements. There's going to be the question of, do I emulate these qualities and characteristics of these two men? There's also going to be another element of definition. In fact, there are five definitions that I will discuss that I will hopefully have you help me to define as we go through. And you'll see that as we go. But first, let me read verses 19 through 30. I've got those up on the screen for you, but please open your Bibles and follow along with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Starting at verse 19, Philippians chapter 2, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when you know your state, when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that is, a son with his father, he served me in the gospel."
And that is that model for us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Again, consistency from Jesus to Paul to Timothy to us. Because you know his proven character. Can people say that about us? Do people know our proven character? Do we ourselves know our proven character? So cooperation. Yes, sir, please.
Well, when you were talking about consistency, whether it's too wet or too dry, what you need to be adding specifics. And it seems to me as a Christian, with the examples that you have in the Bible, that you always have somebody greater to check your consistency with, then you're always going to fall short, but you always can find that you prove yourself well compared to Ruth or somebody else in the Bible that, okay, I was like that person. So you prove your consistency.
Well, those are really good, really, really good statements and a really nice way to describe that. And, you know, our consistency, it wavers from time to time. And sometimes we have too much egg or not enough flour or whatever the case may be. But to make that consistency, because the question is what is the right consistency? You know, and how do you know what the right consistency is? Well, the nice thing about that is that we have God's, well, recipe for us in here. And so what we do is we practice that baby, if you will, the get our consistency right. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say that you picked up your Bible and you noticed what Jesus did. Jesus being deity, he still went to his Father's word when he was talking to the devil. Each time he went back to scripture, it is written. And he didn't just try to do it on his own. He went to his Father's will. So we have that Bible to keep our consistency strong and something to refer to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And without that, you can well imagine that it would be a much bigger challenge for us. But that's right, all of that. And it's absolutely right when it comes to consistency. I'm not consistent all the time, but I want to be, and I know how to be, because I have these examples like Timothy, like Paul, like Jesus, like many of you. So cooperation. So the process of working together to the same end, right? In cooperation with, I would like to cooperate with you to do X, right? The process of working together to the same end is cooperation. So what God is looking for in his faithful servants is really cooperation before self, right? This seems to be the self, the me generation as we've heard it described and seen in many different ways, but that's not service. That's not faithful service according to God's word. The whole aspect of being a Christian, really, in its simplest form, is service to God. And it's service. And in this case, faithful service, obviously. I think it's necessary to send it back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. So we will see elements of cooperation in Epaphroditus. So how does Paul describe Epaphroditus in verse 25? Let's explore that. He describes him as a brother, right? And in this case, a brother in Christ. So in a sense, family, if you will. But a brother in Christ. He also describes him as a fellow worker. Somebody who was with Paul and will be with Paul to help spread the gospel and whatever is needed to help spread the gospel. And this one is really interesting. A fellow soldier. Isn't it interesting, do you think, that he uses that term soldier? Why would you think that he would do that? Why use the term soldier? What comes to your mind when you hear the word soldier?
War.
War. And what happens in war?
Work.
Oh, work. Okay. So work. Yes. What else? What else tells us about being a soldier? Carol.
Close your heart. Sent by someone to do a particular task, whether it's a mundane thing or prison of war.
Precisely. Does a soldier face conflict? Does a soldier face danger? Does a soldier face death?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so that term is extremely applicable. Because those conflicts are the same conflicts that Paul was familiar with, and the same conflicts that Jesus obviously was and is familiar with. And so truly, a fellow soldier sharing the conflicts that can come in spreading the gospel. Is it always easy when you talk to somebody about the gospel? I mean, have you ever had anybody that was like really in your face when you started to talk with them about the gospel? It's a little intimidating. And sometimes it makes you not want to do that again. And so that conflict and that consistency and that character has been built and developed upon so that the next encounter that you have with somebody that has conflict, it's not quite so bad. And you have much more confidence and you are much more courageous when it comes to those dealings. How about a messenger? Paul talks about Epaphroditus, about being a messenger, mostly in Philippians 4, verse 18, regarding the gifts that the Philippians sent to Paul. So remember, and I know you know this, but remember, there was no email, there was no phone call There was no telegraph. You had to just walk or ride an animal from point A to point B, or take a ship. There just was no way around it. And so if I wanted to get a message to Jonathan, my nephew, who lives 400 miles away, I have to expect that that's going to take a couple of months. But yet, Epaphroditus was that messenger. And he endured whatever it took to get the message from point A to point B and felt it important enough to do it. So he was a messenger, not only to Paul, but to the Philippians, but also a minister to Paul's needs. And he himself, Epaphroditus, offered himself in service. Faithful service. Again, we don't know anything about Epaphroditus other than from the book of Philippians. But we know a lot about him because of his mention in the book of Philippians. And we trust that he was the character that Paul portrayed because Paul was talking about Epaphroditus. And again, how do we equate that back to us? For as the body is one, and as many members, but all the members that of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Again, cooperation from Jesus to Paul to Epaphroditus. And again, the question is, to us. Yes, Karen.
I think it's interesting that this place, the New American Standard, puts it. It says, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was sufficient in your service for me. So he was so dedicated to the principles of what his hometown and the region they sent him, that even when whatever they provided was not sufficient, he extended himself much further, almost come to death, to complete what the idea was that started. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal in the sense that if you put yourself in that position, how would you do? That's what I try to do in going through this, is to say, okay, Margaret, if you were faced with the same thing, asked to do the same thing, how would you do? Would you have the compassion and the cooperation and that commitment? And my answer, of course, is, well, yes, I think I would. But I don't know. Because I'm not in that position. I've never really had anything face me like Timothy and Epaphroditus. And in this case, Epaphroditus. I mean, just working and working to the point where, yeah, he got sick, but still working and working. And he is literally, as it appears, on death's door. And yet he still goes and goes and goes. Now I know that we know people who either are in this congregation today or used to be that really showed that group of characteristics and qualities. Absolutely. So cooperation. So commitment. Let's talk about commitment a little bit. All of you are committed to something. I know that you are. You're committed to being here today, at least, because you are. You know, if you are married, you are committed to that spouse. If you have children, you are committed to that child or children. And what does that mean? The state of quality is being dedicated to a cause, activity, or acceptance. Okay? The state of or quality of being dedicated. That's the key there, to be dedicated. I am committed. Right? So here's what God is looking for, I believe. Faithful servants who put the cause of Christ before comfort. I like comfort, don't get me wrong. I really like being warm when it's super cold outside. I really like being dry when I'm fishing. I like comfort. But those are worldly things. How about as it relates to God? How about when I'm walking in and amongst a group of my peers at work and something is going on and I want to talk to them about that and it involves God? Am I comfortable with that? How about if I'm at work and somebody asks me the question, even though you know you really can't talk about these kind of things, but somebody says, well, what is your opinion about homosexuality? Am I comfortable talking about that? Or am I uncomfortable talking about what my belief is? Especially if maybe that person is homosexual. Are you good with that? Are you ready for that? Do you have that commitment to do that? Can you do it in a way that does not portray you as something evil and awful? Maybe, maybe not, but it depends on what the other person sees. You know what I'm saying? It's that commitment. For Rahimi was sick almost unto death. Here's what Aaron was getting at. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also. Once I had had sorrow upon sorrow, commitment, the standard quality of being dedicated. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's commitment, right? That's extreme commitment. You know, there's a story about, and this is no way related to our Savior, but, you know, I used to tell a story to try to talk about commitment and involvement. You know, involvement is like a pig chicken going to breakfast, and the chicken is involved in the breakfast because the chicken gives up the eggs for the eggs in the breakfast. The pig is committed, right? Because the pig gives his life so that we can have yummy bacon and pork chops and those kind of things. So it is commitment. But we understand what commitment means by way of Jesus, clearly, our God, of Paul, and certainly of Epaphroditus. That commitment. And so that question again goes back to, how are we doing with our commitment to that? When I come here, on Sunday mornings, on Sunday evenings, on Wednesday evenings, and any other opportunity that I have to come here to be with you, the next day, I'm ready for anything. Bring it. But through that week, do we not get tired? And sometimes we fail at that commitment. And that's not to say that Timothy or Epaphroditus did not fail from time to time. Or even Paul. Jesus did not. But again, how are we doing with our commitment? Does it really reflect what we see within Epaphroditus? That's the question. The last value or component that I want to bring out, that Paul brought out, was really one. All of us have had courage at some point in our life, in some way, shape, or form, but what is it? The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face a difficulty, danger, pain, etc., with or without fear. Bravery. To have the courage of one's convictions to act in accordance with one's beliefs. Especially, despite criticism. Had a conversation with somebody about God, and then they criticized you. And then it felt great. And then you walked away with a really good feeling, it was excellent, you want to do it again right away. It's uncomfortable. Right? There's the comfort factor again. That's where the courage comes into play. So what is our example? God is looking for those faithful servants who put that service before that security. I'm secure when I don't have to say things that make me have to be courageous. Maybe I'm more secure in that sense. And obviously today's value system speaks differently about that. And fit in with what's going on around you. You know, you don't have to be courageous because you just fit in. Right? I remember the fad used to be, and I think still is, and I didn't ever understand this, but the pants that would go way down to the back of the hiney, about mid-hiney, guys would wear them and they were super baggy. And I just never understood that. You know what, somebody, okay, but I don't know that. But then other people started to emulate that and wear it. And then there was the skinny jeans with the big middle, and I didn't get that either. But I'm pretty sure that was probably the same thing that people thought about the way that I dressed when I was a kid as well. But what's the value system? How do we get there is my point. How do we get to that value system? Is it society's value system, or is it the value system that God would have us to consider? And I know that that is what Paul is portraying in his letter to the Philippians about, in this case, Epaphroditus. That courageous value system that he clearly shows. And what are you willing to stand for in terms of that value system? So when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, and the gospel, will save. That's courage. That's courage. So again, I missed the courageous there, sorry. From Jesus to Paul, again to Epaphroditus, and again our question is to us. And notice verse 30 of Philippians 2. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. That's courageous. And courageous. But it's courageous. That's courage. No matter what's going on, no matter how I might be criticized, no matter what people may think of me, am I still going to be who God wants me to be? That is the question. And so notice first the very bottom statement. And actually, my wife said this to me, because she read it somewhere, and it really, really resonated with her. And when she said to me, the same thing happened. But doesn't this make sense? The only words that really matter are the ones I live. That makes really perfect sense. And that is that characteristic and quality of that faithful servant, both in Timothy and in Epaphroditus. And yeah, verses 19 through 30, it's a short amount of verses. But there's so much in that, in those qualities and characteristics. And it brings about a self-reflection as it relates to these two gifts. Not apostles, not really of any super high stature, except Paul shows them in the life of Christ and who they were and those qualities and characteristics that they have known. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's in Philippians. And so you can see why I admit that this really was a study about just pure quality of individuals. And Paul's recognition of those individuals, who they were, what they did, and why they did it. They were faithful servants. And so that is our question. Are we faithful servants? Do we emulate them as well? And I leave you with that. Questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. We did chapter 3. I think I explained that we would make it through chapter 3, but going into that study, we may not make it through chapter 3 in its entirety for next week. I want to bring out as much as possible without going over. But if you read chapter 3, the two parts, still be it. That's okay. But be ready for that. I appreciate your time and attention, and nice to see you this morning. Thank you.